True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, look who's back. Fred is in the house this afternoon after a week off.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Thank you, Kenny Wallace. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Great, I survived the beach.
Why is that so? You're not very loud.
I'm not a strong swimmer.
Really?
Really? What, you discovered that?
Oh, no, I've always known that.
Oh, okay.
Phew.
Oh,
yeah. You know what, Fred? I baked cookies for your return and then promptly left them at home.
Well,
I'll bring them to you tomorrow.
That's great. That's okay. Something to look forward to.
Thanks for forgetting those, Sue.
They're sitting there on the counter, but I remembered my giant sweater.
You know, because
it's 66 degrees.
Isn't that funny? You know, look, it looks like we're in the middle of winter if you look at the studio right now. I do have my blanket on this afternoon. Ethan Hannaford is also with us getting the show set up, trying to get the links to the X, formerly Twitter, and the YouTube going here this afternoon. I hope everyone had a good weekend. I went to the Mizzou game on Saturday with our friend Steve Butts, state representative. He's
How
a regular
cute.
On the panel. Yeah, so here's why I did it, too, and I was very honest. He texted me during the show on Friday and mentioned there was a suite with air conditioning, and I thought, you know what? I would not have gone to that game without a suite with air conditioning because you should have seen the second half. First of all, Mizzou was blowing them out, which is what they needed to do. But everyone evacuated. It was actually, Fred, it was like back in the day when we would follow Mizzou football and there'd be that many people that would only stay because most of the Mizzou fans would just leave because we were getting blown out. You know,
not
in the. But it was a combination of it was a blowout and it was really, really hot. You missed this because you weren't here, but they changed the game time. The game time was supposed to be 3 o'clock. They moved it to noon. On Saturday, I heard they did that because of the tailgaters.
Oh, you
because
did?
Because it would make it easy. But I don't know if it really did. But anyway, it was a good win by Mizzou. They needed to do, Ethan, I think you would agree, they needed to do what they did, just roll a team like that. And now you have South Carolina coming to town this weekend. Both teams are ranked. South Carolina lost to Vanderbilt in dramatic fashion. They're actually ranked behind the Tigers. And even more importantly than that, South Carolina lost. They lost their quarterback, or he's pretty injured.
Their quarterback, Lenora Seller, going into the year was, you know, Heisman watch, one of the better quarterbacks in the country, and he's down with a concussion. So I don't know if they have ruled him out yet, but that's a huge loss if he's gone, and that really changes things for the Tigers.
Absolutely. There's some NFL news that's not too great either. Joe Burrow's going to be out for several months because of a toe issue. And then my fantasy quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is injured as well. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh,
what happened?
I just saw this on The Athletic before we started the show.
All
it
the quarterbacks
breaking
are
breaking news. Yeah. Washington Redskins quarterback, sorry, I have to. Jaden Daniels suffered a knee injury in the loss to Green Bay. So this is just coming out today. That game was on Thursday night. It says the status for the game against the Raiders is uncertain. There's a lot of good football this weekend, both college and professional. And there are two games tonight. I don't know how they make these decisions, but I think next week there's two games on Monday as well. Yeah, they, you know, usually they used to do this in the past where the first Monday of the season was two games. But they do the scheduling very differently now, and so tonight there's two games, and then next Monday there's two games, and I don't know after that.
It's kind of sporadic, but Buccaneers-Texans tonight and Chargers-Raiders, and they also just announced that my quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, is out this upcoming week.
Because he's hurt,
sprained
too?
Sprained ankle.
Well, yeah. I didn't look too good yesterday, I hate
to
tell you.
Well, that's because our half of our offensive line was gone. He got pressured on 60% of his dropbacks. 60%.
Yeah.
It's impossible
for
a new quarterback to do anything.
I watched a fair amount of that game. Well, Fred, what was your perspective? You know, we mentioned this on Friday because you have this incredible knack. Congratulations for being out of town and on vacation when, like, the biggest stories on the planet break. And last week was no exception, was it?
Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is about me being gone. I just, you know, I follow, you know, I get these strange texts saying, hey, you got a guest to talk about the Charlie Kirk shooting.
And you had not heard about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that how that's how it was broken to you?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I was in D.C. for the, you know, Roe v. Wade being overturned. I was in Atlanta for the January 6th uprising. I was in rural Missouri when Michael Jackson died. I'm never working when some of the bigger stories happen.
As the associate producer, this concerns me.
Well, yes.
Did you, so when it happened, you know, I'll be honest, we were sitting here getting ready for the show on Wednesday. We had a really good show planned. And Ethan was telling me what had happened at about the very time I was noticing it on social media, that Charlie Kirk had been shot. We didn't really know much. And then after the first round of videos, the first video that came out was pretty far away, but they had zoomed in. You can certainly, you know, see the impact of the shot. And then, I don't know about you, Fred, but I made the mistake, and I know a lot of other people listen. Good, because you didn't want to see the close-ups. But, you know, this has really taken on even more of a new life than it was on Friday. We talked about it quite a bit on Friday. Certainly during the roundtable, we had who was on Friday night at 5 o'clock. Oh, you know who was great? TJ Moe was awesome. If you want to go back and listen to a great conversation about this and really focusing on the spirituality of Charlie Kirk and some of that, I thought TJ was incredible. So much so that I told Ethan, I said that's a good best of segment. Who else was on? Somebody else was on Friday at 5 though that was really good.
Oh, geez. Oh yeah, Brad Young.
What's his name?
Oh yeah, Brad.
Brad remembers the show better than I do.
Right. No, but well, it was a busy week, and you know Ethan, and I have to say thank you to Ethan because it's not easy to step in for Fred under any circumstance, but it's certainly a lot tougher when you have breaking news and when you have to shift around the show and we have to kind of, you know, go into a different gear, and everyone did that very effectively last week. So on the show this afternoon, Josh Hammer is going to get some reaction. He, of course, has a show that airs here on 97.1 FM Talk on Saturdays at 1 p.m. He's the senior Newsweek editor-at-large. Nick Schroer will be here. One of the stories, and we didn't spend as much time on this Friday on the roundtable because of the Charlie Kirk shooting, but we did spend some time last week about the special session. It wrapped up on Friday. The governor has some bills on his desk. The initiative petition reform will go to the voters. Nick's going to kind of give us the details on that. I had a let's kind of tee it up this way, Sue, and there's a visual aspect to this. We'll put it up on social media. I had a carpeting mystery, a bit of a mystery.
Mystery, you know, I love a mystery.
Right. So this is a flooring mystery, and I'm going to call in the experts, Mike Reynolds, who is with Michael's Flooring Outlet, because I told Fred, I sent this text to Fred yesterday. I'm like, something happened, and you know how it is. I don't like to tell you guys exactly what it is, but you'll get a kick out of it. I don't think it's going to take too hard, especially for Mike to kind of diagnose the problem. We have Cusimano in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little football, obviously. And, you know, Ethan, I told you, and I was worried, that the Chiefs could be 0-2 after the start of this weekend. I just had a terrible feeling. The schedule's tough. The Eagles are good. Again, though, they could have won that game yesterday. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's 9 teams in the NFL, I think, now that are 0-2, and 8 of them, I think you probably could have expected the Chiefs were not one of them. If there was a team that you could – and the reason that that matters is because the percentage chances of making the playoffs
very
after
low.
Starting 0-2, they drop – drastically. Now, if there's a team that could overcome that, it would be them. But, I mean, even the Bengals last year, great example, Joe Burrow, with how good he was, an MVP candidate, and they started off 0-2, and even they couldn't
claw
overcome
back
it.
Even
so
after,
it really is a thing. You start 0-2, it's hard to come
back.
Yeah,
and, you know, look, for me, with the Chiefs, it's been such a run, such an amazing run, that at some point you're not going to be at the top of the heap of the teams in the NFL. I will say this, that the Lions certainly rebounded yesterday against the Bears. The poor Bears. I don't really say that with any empathy. I just say the poor Bears. Hopefully, producer emeritus David Klein is listening because he's a Bears fan. Hey, David Strom, who no doubt is also a Vikings fan with Ethan. He's with hotair.com. He'll join us. So we have Scott Jennings on tonight. His show will air.
Ooh.
I think he's got Curtis Hauk on his show tonight. We have Curtis on. In fact, Fred Curtis was on twice last week, and that's very rare. But because there was so much to focus on with the media, he'll be with us. Now, Scott's show on Salem airs earlier in the afternoon, and Charlie Kirk's show was essentially his lead-in, and then Hugh Hewitt follows Jennings. In fact, I think, and I could get some of this wrong, but I think that Charlie's show used to be 3 hours, and then they gave Jennings an hour that, look, with everything these guys are doing, it's hard to do, you know, all this extra stuff. So I think that that's one of the things that they, you know, changed the schedule. But Jennings is going to join us with his perspective on all this. But today, the vice president was his lead-in because J.D. Vance was there on the show for Charlie.
J.D. Vance here, live from my office in the White House complex and filling in for somebody who cannot be filled in for, but I'm going to try to do my best, my dear friend, the great Charlie Kirk. I can't promise you this is going to be easy. I can't promise you that all of us will avoid Charlie's fate. I can't promise you that I will avoid Charlie's fate. But the way to honor him is to shine the light of truth like a torch in the very darkest places. Go do it. We owe it to our friend to ensure that his killer is not just prosecuted but punished. And the worst punishment is not the death penalty, but the knowledge that Charlie's mission continues after he's gone.
So that is the vice president on Charlie's own radio show earlier this afternoon. Then you have, you know, some of this stuff is just ridiculous. So this is an author by the name of Jodi Picoult, P-I-C-O-U-L-T. How would you pronounce that? I don't really know.
Picoult.
She's Australian. There we go. We'll just go with that. So here's what she says here.
People you're criticizing have decried the...
Well, I got to do this back. Hang on. I got to do it the other way because this... I'm going to make sure that I get the right one here. Isn't the shorter one the one I should play first, Ethan? Because that's where she says something that she has to kind of apologize for?
No, that's a different cut. That's not the author.
Okay, so
this is
that's
just
right.
One
you're
cut.
Right. All right, so that's where I got confused. Let me play the other one that I was thinking of. This is actually a professor.
Thought I'd do a quick check-in after yesterday and all of the drama. I want to reiterate that it is not wrong or unethical or unkind to laugh at the misfortunes of terrible people. That Charlie Kirk incited violence, that's what he did, and then that came back to haunt him. That was his decision. So it's got nothing to do with the people who are laughing and joking about him becoming a human water fountain.
Did you hear that last part?
Oh my gosh,
is that off?
Okay, now she
what
goes on
the matter
she calls him, even for people who don't know, and I'm guessing most people know that, you know, the way that the bullet pierced his body, we're not exactly sure the trajectory, but his neck was just gushing blood.
A father of young... What is the matter with people?
So this person tries to play the victim here.
I received information that I've been doxxed on X, so I'm going to have to step away for a little bit, and the AFP have been contacted, and also the E-Safety Commission as well have been contacted because there's been a large number of threats coming through.
So she's in Australia.
And the irony of this situation, that all I did was say some words that offended some people, and now people have decided to take that into the real world and start, you know, threatening and harassing and abusing people out in the real world based on their inability to manage their emotions.
So, I addressed this on Friday, and we talked about it on the roundtable. There is a certain part of me that has some level of uncomfortability with the people that are getting reaction. You know, I think the way I put it on Friday was, if you're the average nose ring wearing pink haired member of the Alphabet Mafia, and you want to, because you're a barista at Starbucks or whatever, take out and dance on his grave, go ahead. But what's happening here is there's a lot of people in very important positions, whether they're in government, in the military. There were some people even in the Secret Service, healthcare workers. So there have been repercussions. So I'm not a fan of cancel culture per se, but this is going beyond that, because some of these people are saying very threatening things. There's this nurse who, this is weird. I can't even really understand how this happened. I got to be careful with my time, though, so maybe I should play the audio in a little bit. But there's a nurse, Fred, you remember where she was from? Somewhere out east,
New
right?
New Jersey.
So she goes in. The doctor says something about being happy that Charlie Kirk is dead. And she says, I looked at his name badge, and it's a doctor. He says, you're a doctor? And you said this, and nobody else in the room says anything. And then the nurse is the one who gets suspended. And she goes on Fox to tell her story. So we have some of that audio as we get through a little bit more of the show here this afternoon. Josh Hammer, though, coming up.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I have a ton of audio to get to this afternoon. Reaction from the left, some things that happened over the weekend. John Fetterman saying some very commonsensical things, which is not unusual, but why is he the only Democrat saying things along those lines? Josh Hammer is back with us this afternoon. You hear his show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. He's the senior editor at Newsweek. How are you this afternoon, Josh? What a week last week was.
Mark, I suppose I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances. It's been really trying to be totally blunt with you.
Did you have a relationship? I did not know Charlie, and I had not had him as a guest on my show. Did you have a relationship with him?
I knew Charlie Kirk very well, actually. We spoke almost every day, and we actually spoke less than 24 hours before the assassination happened. We were literally talking about his upcoming campus tour. It's just devastating stuff. It is heartbreaking. You know, Mark, on my show, the Josh Hammer Show, that just played here on 97.1 over the weekend, it was the first time I ever spoke on this show that I just broke down crying. That's never happened to me before, honestly. So it's just been one of those kind of weeks, honestly.
Well, and I have empathy for that. Look, Ethan, my producer, is with me here in the studio, and sometimes is the guy who gets you on the line. He's a younger dude, right? But he's been listening and following Charlie Kirk since he was like 15 years old. And even Ethan got very emotional, Josh. And even I think underestimated. I knew how big he was. I liked the guy. I used to play his audio, but I think I underestimated the reach that he had with these young people, which is incredible.
You know, I think to an extent I did too. I mean, I was well aware, certainly, of Turning Point USA. I've spoken to numerous other events. I mean, he built what I would argue probably the single most formidable grassroots mobilization and activism organization on the entire American right. So I was well aware of that. I guess what I was not entirely aware of, Mark, was just how far Charlie's influence reached beyond just the political realm. I mean, talking here about nearly all of the NFL teams holding a moment of silence. I mean, country music, megastars like Jason Aldean and Morgan Wallen having tributes. Mid-concert, the New York Yankees.
Aaron Lewis did it, too. He's a country guy, but he did it with his band Stained because he was also, you know, the singer before he went country, and he dedicated a song in the middle of the show to Charlie as well.
Right, so I think that's probably the element that I hadn't quite appreciated. I knew that he was an absolute titan, a five-star general in this broader battle to save the country and save civilization, which is very much how he would have framed things. He loves speaking in kind of civilizational terms. I saw him as a five-star general in that fight, but honestly, I don't think I fully appreciated just how far he reached beyond the confines of our day-to-day political battles.
Can you help me, Josh, and my audience understand this narrative that emerged last week and apparently continues that somehow this shooter, and I don't say his name, is MAGA. Now, his family certainly seemingly were conservatives, Republicans, but you have, and I guess I'm just behind the times because I didn't know this term, Groiper, but there's this allegation that this guy killed Charlie Kirk because Charlie Kirk wasn't extreme enough on issues related to the right. So they're trying to flip it around. No, we didn't have anything to do with this. These are extreme right-wingers that are responsible with no evidence of that whatsoever, but they're running with it.
Look, they're running with it because it's the self-serving thing to do, right? I mean, it's very simple. So it seems to me that the shooter, who I also have a policy mark of not naming the names as well, it's a good policy to have, I think. He grew up in a conservative Mormon family in rural Utah, right? So he grew up to register Republicans. He learned how to shoot a rifle at a young age, as many folks in rural America do. But it seems to me like this is a classic case of someone who just goes completely down the rabbit hole upon entering a university campus and upon spending way too much time online in websites, forum like Reddit. He spent a lot of time on Reddit, apparently. Discord was his platform of choice. I've never been on Discord, but I've heard just all sorts of awful things. And, you know, another thing that I'm working on, Mark, I'm trying to develop this theory, but someone said to me, and it kind of makes a lot of sense. If you are the kind of person who comes, as this individual does, from quintessential rural, gun-owning, Republican-registered, red state America, and then you become a radical, far-left, socialist, communist, transgender, I mean, whatever ideology or ideologies you subscribe to, I'm wondering whether there is some sort of psychological need on people who fit that very specific mold to double down on the radicalism, to try to atone for the way in which they're raised, to try to atone for their conservative parents, their conservative family, their red state background. So I'm kind of developing this nascent, incipient thesis, if you will, that maybe some of the absolute most dangerous people are those who actually come from conservative families in conservative states when they then go really far off the rails in college. It seems to me like that's exactly what happened.
Well, there might be something to that for sure. Josh Hammer with us this afternoon. What do you make, you know, look, and I talked about this a little bit on Friday. You and I have probably talked about cancel culture over the years. I'm not comfortable with a lot of it. So what's happening right now is there are a couple of websites, End Wokeness, Libs of TikTok, maybe most prominently, that have really been highlighting some of the vitriol out there against Charlie Kirk, people dancing on his grave, really going to some extremes. Now, my position is if you got your ordinary, you know, left winger with a nose ring who's going off on this and they work at a Starbucks or whatever, I don't really care. But there are people in these positions of authority in government, at hospitals, at, you know, teachers and principals and people like that who are being exposed. Now, they're getting hit pretty hard. Some of them are losing their job right now. Do you have any thoughts on that whole dynamic relating to this story?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that. So, Mark, I actually am a longtime critic of the term cancel culture. I thought that the right made a tactical, arguably even philosophical mistake, actually, in adopting that sort of rhetoric. Because the reality is that there are some things that deserve to be canceled. There always are things that deserve to be shunned. We're not gonna welcome into the marketplace of ideas in a university classroom someone who's going to offer Hitler apologia, right? Someone who's going to offer all sorts of apologia for the killing fields of the Soviet Union and so forth there. There are some things that we correctly and rightfully deem to be outside of the bounds of acceptable speech. Rather, the question is not necessarily a principled one, but a tactical and prudential one as to where we draw the lines in any given circumstance. And that calls for discernment and judgment, and it's complicated stuff. So here, we have people that are openly celebrating the murder, the cold-blooded assassination of a 31, I hold aside everything else, a 31-year-old man, a husband and a father of two beautiful children. He was a dedicated husband and father, by the way. He loved his wife, Erica. He loved his children there. If you are celebrating that, that is not cancel culture. That is the proper response to what you are saying, is that you should lose your job at minimum. I mean, you know, some of the examples that I've heard are just too unbearable to even think about. I read this one story about this one teacher. I can't remember the exact grade, like third or fourth grade, and the teacher is showing the horrific video.
Yes.
To the students.
I heard about that. What are you doing?
What are you doing? This is evil. This is literally demonic from the pits of hell evil. And frankly, I think that losing your job is about the least offensive thing that I would like to see happen to a person.
But, you know, some of these people are so brazen, they just don't think that there's going to be any consequences. That's the thing about free speech. Yeah, you got a right to go out there, but your employer has the right to say, look, you know, we don't stand by you when you're saying such vile things. But it's been amazing to me that, you know, you would expect people to get pretty emotional in the first 24 hours and to say things maybe they would regret, maybe they wouldn't. But it just continued through the weekend. You know, it's not like they're backing off. They're kind of, in many instances, many of these people are doubling down. Now, right before the segment, maybe as I was introducing you, I mentioned this whole thing with this nurse who is in New Jersey. And the update on that is actually a positive one, because she goes on Fox this morning saying she's the one who was suspended after questioning this doctor who was in the room celebrating his death. Now, the hospital says they've accepted the physician's resignation and the nurse is expected to work her scheduled shift. So some of this is kind of getting righted here in the background, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Look, fundamentally, we cannot have a society where people are openly calling for, clamoring for, justifying, and or celebrating violence against other innocent people. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, Mark, but what I wrote in my column that was somewhat of a tribute to Charlie was that this is literally how republics die. A people that gets the point where you are deciding to not hash out your differences through the soapbox, through the podium, the pen, the keyboard, and so forth, but rather you will do so through knives and swords and bullets and guns. That is a people that has ceased the ability to engage in lowercase r Republican self-governance. And, you know, Charlie was among other things, a genuine, sincere evangelical Christian. He was intimately familiar with the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and he loved the book of Genesis. And, you know, I think about Genesis 1:27, which is this notion that this world's transforming revelation that God made man in his image. And I think downstream of that is the notion that man is different from the animals of the animal kingdom because we can do this. Among other things, we actually have the ability to engage in reasoned discourse through the spoken word and to ultimately arrive at the truth, whereas animals just fight over food there. So we're risking becoming animalistic again in a fundamentally pagan, non-biblical way. And the irony, and of course, is that that is just the complete opposite of everything that Charlie Kirk preached day in and day out in his life.
Well stated, Josh Hammer. Always great to have you on. I appreciate it. You hang in there. Thanks a lot,
Mark.
Josh. All right, take
Thank
care.
You.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday edition of Sue's News is coming up here, of course, in the next hour. Last week, we touched on this on the roundtable on Friday. Obviously, a lot of news around Charlie Kirk, but the special session wrapped up in Jeff City with Missouri lawmakers passing a new congressional legislative map. Here is Governor Kehoe.
Governor Kehoe, in a social media post, says he thinks it represents Missouri values.
The Missouri First map. That is a map that really reflects the values that I hear from Missourians at all times. And for those of you who disagree, I respect that. Decisions are hard. Leadership is hard. It's not easy doing the job that your House and Senate members do. But we try to do the best we can to reflect Missourians' values.
So that is Maria Kina from KMOX on the front end of that. Nick Shore played an important role in doing all this last week that occurred, and we're going to explain it and try to simplify it for you this afternoon. Senator Nick Shore, how are you? Good afternoon.
I am wonderful. Good to see you again. It's just been about a week.
Yeah, and this got done very quickly, didn't it? Yeah. I mean, it was like the Democrats got to complain for a little while, but then the vote took place, boom, to the governor's desk. Now explain, there were two issues here. Obviously, there were the redistricting maps, and then there was something related to initiative petition process, which has to go to the ballot. So let's start with redistricting. Can you, in a simple fashion, explain sort of what happened? Because this more, I think, directly affects people that are certainly far to the west of here and to the northwest of our listening area, correct?
Yeah, it does, but it also impacts areas like the 3rd Congressional District, the 2nd Congressional District. And the reason I say that is back in 2022, I offered the very first map that would keep St. Charles County whole in one district rather than splitting it. But in order to appease the Democrats, the leadership at the time bent the knee and said, hey, we'll carve out this special district on the Kansas City side to make it to where Emanuel Cleaver can win hands down, no problems. But we're going to have to chop up Boone County. We're going to have to chop up Warren County, St. Charles County, and a couple others. So what this map does is puts all of them back together, and they're all combined within, you know, certain congressional districts rather than being split up in two or three different congressional districts. And in order to do that, you have to kind of make it more compact, more contiguous, and it creates a bigger and more competitive seat for the 5th, which stretches into the Kansas City area.
So then the conventional wisdom would be that the only Democrat seat in Missouri would be from right here, the seat that was formerly held by Cori Bush, now by Wesley Bell. Doesn't automatically discount that Congressman Cleaver could win re-election in that district, right? He is the incumbent, but the math perhaps would favor a more competitive race.
Yeah, I think a lot of these seats are going to be more competitive, and I think the way you look at the statewide seats, it's, you know, no shock that it's more likely going to be a Republican taking over Emanuel Cleaver's seat, because all the statewide seats in the state of Missouri, the governor all the way down, are Republicans. And these aren't, you know, cut up special gerrymandered districts like the left likes to say. It's that the left has gone so far to the left that a lot of the people in the middle are coming over to the Republican Party. So, yeah, it is very competitive. Due to the Voting Rights Act, we have to have a special seat in the 1st Congressional District where Wesley Bell has it. Could a Republican win that? Probably not, because it has to be a minority majority seat, meaning the minorities have to make up a majority of that seat. Now, there is a case that is likely heading to the Supreme Court, so keep your eyes. Don't have the citation on me right now, but we could be doing this all again if the Supreme Court says no, we're striking this provision, and the states can redistrict as they please, as long as it's compact, contiguous, and meets all the other thresholds as well.
So, yeah, that was maybe one of my next questions. The lawyers aren't done here, right? There's some lawsuits coming.
Oh, absolutely. Anything of consequence that we do in the state of Missouri, and I would say in any state where the Republicans have the majority, there are teams of attorneys that are going to strike. Now, some of the big things that the Democrats are saying is that we don't have the constitutional authority to redraw these maps outside of that one census year. Well, when we had the maps in 2022, that was 2 years after we had the census numbers coming into us, and the way that our Constitution is written, it says you guys absolutely have to do it within a certain time period after you get the census numbers, but then it's wholly silent as to whether we can do it immediately thereafter, 1, 2, 15 times. And I think the courts are going to clarify, the clearest forms of statutory construction are going to dictate that we absolutely, as legislators, have the right to do it.
All right, so let's kind of get to, one more question on this, and maybe both issues were at hand, but this got overshadowed a bit because Charlie Kirk was assassinated on Wednesday. Yeah. It's my understanding, we talked about this a little bit on the roundtable, I guess you guys were like flooded with protesters. People were saying that they'd never seen so many protesters at the Capitol, and that was all over the redistricting? Or was it on initiative petition also?
Well, I think it was both of them. I actually saw more protesters when the right to work issue came up back in 2017. But, you know, there were rumors flooding around that there were buses that were paying people from Kansas City and St. Louis to come up. They paid them, they paid for their bus fare, and they paid for their meals. And, you know, I had a couple little birdies telling me that, hey, at a certain time, the buses are leaving, so these people are going to clear out, and sure enough, they did.
It's shocking there. All right, simplify. Again, I've said this is my least favorite topic, but simplify the IP reform and what's going to the voters, because on that particular issue, that has to be voted on statewide.
Correct. Yeah, so currently, before this thing goes into effect, it's very easy for a billionaire, a millionaire, or any interested party outside of the state of Missouri to pay people to walk around by the YMCAs, your grocery store, the library, and get signatures. They don't necessarily have to show you everything that's going into the Constitution, and that's where we get Amendment 3 in Clean Missouri, where they say these lies on TV. And I've said this time and time again on your show, I don't need to dive into it, but it's very easy to get something into the Constitution if you have a little bit of change and have 50% plus one voter that comes out. So if 11 people show up, you got six people that vote for it, it's getting in the Constitution. This would change it to say, okay, you need 50% plus one,
but also
the turnout, not the registered voters,
right,
in all of the congressional districts. And there are a number of things that got into our Constitution over the last two decades with that threshold. And I think a stronger threshold is what people want. You know, if you want to change our statutes, that's fine. We've seen with marijuana, which you and I both supported, it's very hard to make any changes as it's in our Constitution. If you want to make a change, you got to put it back on the ballot and go through the whole rigmarole again. And this would handcuff the ability of out-of-state interests, even guys in Switzerland who have been paying up to $4 million in the 1630 fund that changed our Constitution with Amendment 3. It would prevent out-of-state money from influencing these ballot initiatives, and it would also require that the entirety of what's going to go into our Constitution be made available to people when they're signing this thing.
So you could have an issue, just for example's sake, that passes 50% plus one, but if it fails in the 5th congressional district, then it does not pass and become ingrained into the Constitution. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay.
I think, you know, what the Democrats keep talking about, democracy and the more voices. Look, we shouldn't have just St. Louis and Kansas City riding through and making sure that all the Democrats come out and inject, whether it's marijuana, bingo, Medicaid expansion, Obamacare expansion into our Constitution. These are things in the Constitution that are going to impact rural, urban, suburban. So I think you have to have more buy-in from the voters in every single congressional district.
Senator Nick Schroer, awesome to have you on. Great to see you at the Missouri Right to Life event a week ago. I can't believe that was already a week ago. Lots happened since then, obviously. But I appreciate it, Nick. Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right,
thank
take
you.
Care. We have Sue's News in the next hour. Also, Frank Cusimano is going to join us at 4:30. I have just an abundance of audio that I want to share, a bit of a collection from the weekend, mainly on Charlie Kirk. We do have some new reporting on Fox this afternoon. You'll probably hear this in the news in just a couple of minutes. This is David Spunt from just a short time ago on some new information about the killer.
About 2 hours before he was turned into authorities. This, according to the Washington Post, we are working to independently confirm this as well. But the Washington Post says that Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old suspect charged in Charlie Kirk's murder, confessed. And I want to read this, according to the Washington Post, writing on Discord, that social media chat group that the FBI says he used, quote, "Hey guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all of this." This coming from the Washington Post. Now, this comes as DOJ officials began late last week and over the weekend looking at the potential for at least one federal charge. No guarantee they'll get there. A department spokesperson declined comment, but a source familiar said investigators are not ruling anything out at this time, especially his online gaming presence, his chats, as we just mentioned. Who was he talking to?
Some of this gaming stuff is really weird and creepy. And,
yeah.
You know, the way it was broke down on Friday and Saturday was leading people to believe, and this is what the legacy media does, that this guy is a right winger, right? He's
what?
To the right of his family. That's why he did this. Well, there's some symbols that were on the casings, et cetera, that were, you know, specific to different things in gaming. But it's unbelievable the way they want to, you know, try to spin this. Lawrence Tribe, Harvard professor, law, you know, he's deemed one of the biggest experts. He goes on there and says something about that. He ended up having to apologize because he was completely wrong. So you have some people walking it back. Then there's this, and this is from the governor of Utah, because if we're being honest, last week, some of this started with, especially because of the timing and the moment that Charlie was hit by that bullet from the shooter was when he was talking about trans shooters, right? So then the question is there trans ideology involved? At first, there's a report that on some of the bullets, there were some references to that. And then that was walked back. Right?
I wondered what happened.
Well, and I even said, I think I said on Thursday or Friday, I'm like, look, we don't have that confirmed, right? We don't know exactly what's going on there. But then it gets weirder because apparently he's dating someone who is transitioning.
Some outlets are reporting that the suspect lived with a transgender partner. Is that accurate? And are investigators looking at this part of his life as a possible motivation?
Yes, definitely. And yes, I can confirm that. I know that has been reported and that the FBI has confirmed that as well, that the roommate was a romantic partner, a male transitioning to female. I can say that he has been very cooperative. This partner has been incredibly cooperative, had no idea that this was happening and is working with investigators right now.
So that's bizarre, wow. Right? By the way, the president is live right now, and it appears as if he is talking about establishing a task force in Memphis for crime. Now, he has mentioned St. Louis in connection with some of this, so I'm going to keep an eye on that. An update on this story. This is Lexi Kunsley. I might be mispronouncing her last name. She's a nurse out in New Jersey, and this was her story from this morning.
Are you fired?
No, I'm not fired as of right now. Right now, I am suspended, indefinitely unpaid.
Why?
So I walked into the nurse's station and I just had learned about Charlie Kirk. I saw this guy. I didn't know who he was at the time. And he was standing there celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk, saying how he deserved it. He hated Charlie Kirk and he had it coming to him.
So she goes on social media when this happened with and says, look, this doctor is a disgrace, had the audacity to say, I'm glad he deserved it in front of a patient, right? And other people didn't react.
You love Charlie Kirk. You didn't just wear aware of him.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Charlie Kirk. My first retweet in 2018 it was like my first blue checkmark retweet was Charlie Kirk. I was a couple years out of college and... Yeah. Loved him ever since.
You're aghast at this, and what'd you say?
So I looked down at his badge because I didn't know, you know, what job, if he was a doctor or a nurse, never saw him before. I looked down, I see his badge, and it says doctor. And I said, you're a doctor? I said, how are you saying this as a doctor that someone deserved to die? I mean, to me, I was just mind blown.
Yeah, so... She gets the news when she's in front of a patient on a stretcher, eight other nurses nearby, and this news breaks. And she says, oh, my God, that's terrible. I love him. And this Dr. Young says, I hate Charlie Kirk. He had it coming. He deserved it. And that's when she starts questioning, wait a second, you're a doctor? So she is suspended. She goes on social media to talk about how outrageous that is. And then the news comes out today that Dr. Matthew Young, or Young, J-U-N-G, of Inglewood Health quit following this incident. They say, Inglewood Health says, we have accepted the physician's resignation.
Get more at 971talk.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.